Are you considering a consulting role, but you're not sure if you have the right experience? Then join Strategy Sprint for a one-week virtual consulting project that will help you add amazing US-based work experience to your resume. And until April 26th, you'll get $200 off the next Strategy Sprint project for an early bird discount. See the link in the show notes to get the discount and to join Strategy Sprint. Just a few more quick details about the project. In Strategy Sprint, you're staffed in a team of six led by a former McKinsey Banner BCG consultant, and your job is to answer a strategic or growth question for a real client. In the project, you'll not only confirm if consulting is right for you, but you'll gain incredible US work experience for your resume. And as a bonus, we'll even help you add the experience to your resume. Again, link in the show notes to learn more and to sign up for Strategy Sprint. There is a lot of terrible advice on the internet about how to research consulting firms and select the right firms for you. In this episode, Naman, our COO, will bust a bunch of myths, tell you about the mistakes that you're probably making but should definitely stop, and the right approach to take to help you put together a target firms list of 6 to 10 firms and keys to make sure that these are the right firms and that you put yourself in the best position possible to land an offer at these firms. I'm not exaggerating when I tell you that this episode has the power to transform the way you think about recruiting for the rest of your life. So I'm really excited to get into this episode. For expert help navigating consulting recruiting, from identifying the right firms for you to developing a networking strategy to executing an interview prep plan, Black Belt is a case prep program that has it all. Learn more and join today via the link in this episode's show notes. Finally, before we get into this amazing episode led by Naman, we'd love to get your rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify to help more listeners find the show. Without further ado, here is this episode on how to find the right consulting firm for you.
All right, let's go ahead and dive in. We've got a lot to cover today. I am going to go fast. Buckle up. Today's going to be a combination of straight talk, tough love, and some actionable next steps. I am going to take questions at the end. So if you think of questions as we go, you're more than welcome to pop them in the chat, but we will address all of those questions towards the end of our time together today. Here's what I'm going to cover. I'm going to give you a very, very brief overview of the firm landscape. Let's first figure out who the firms are and where they fit within the industry before we can start to figure out where you fit. And so I'm going to quickly give you an overview of the firm landscape. I'm then going to walk you through four common mistakes that you might be making. And these are four common mistakes that we've seen candidates make over the last 15 years. Learn from their mistakes so you don't make the same ones. I'm then going to walk you through 5 steps to identify your target firms. And then we'll end with a little bit of application and Q&A. So this is what we're going to be doing over the next 45 to 50 minutes. Let's first start with an overview of the firm landscape. And where I like to start this conversation is by first just identifying that there are different types of consulting. Not all consulting is created equal. And so there are many, many subsectors to consulting, but 3 major project types I just want to quickly mention today. And these 3 major project types then connect to 3 major types of consulting and further downstream connect to different types of consulting firms. So there is strategy consulting, there's operations consulting, there's technology consulting. There are more subsectors than this. There are more types of consulting. These are the 3 biggest players inside of the market. And so strategy consulting answers the question, what should you do? Operations consulting answers the high-level question, how should you do it? By the way, operations and implementation consulting are different. So operations is really the strategy behind operations. And then technology consulting, if I could roll all of technology consulting up into 1 5-word question, it would be, how do we enable best practices? And so the first thing for you to understand and identify is that there are different sectors within what we would call management consulting. And these are the 3 major ones. And the misconception that we see a lot of candidates make is that strategy is the end all be all of consulting opportunities. And strategy is the sexiest, it gets most of the press, but it's actually the smallest segment inside of the space. So only about 5% of the opportunities and 5% of the work inside of the space is in what I would call traditional strategy. And you can see that the bulk of the opportunities, the bulk of the work is done in operations, tech, and elsewhere. And so that doesn't mean you shouldn't pursue strategy if that's what you want to do, but you should recognize that there is more to consulting than just strategy consulting. And we're going to talk today about some of the different opportunities that are available inside the space. Some of you, you're really more wired to answer operational type of questions. It's how your brain works. You like to see the results of your work. Operations might be best for you. Some of you want to marry your passion for business with technical acumen. Technology consulting might be a really great avenue for you. And so there are firms that do work across all of these spaces and more. And the way that I categorize them is the way that you see on the slide. To me and to management consulted firms fall in only one of three categories. You have the MBBs, you have Big Four, and then every other firm in the world I would classify as a boutique. That doesn't necessarily mean that every other firm in the world is small or inconsequential. The way that I define boutique is that boutique firms have a specific industry or functional focus area. And so your MBBs are your top firms in the space. I think almost everybody in this call would be familiar with them. They work across industry areas, across functional areas. Your Big Four, traditional audit and accounting powers, who have massive consulting practices, like exponentially larger than the MBBs, also work across functions, across industries. By the way, some of the management consulting and strategy practices inside of the Big Four are amazing places if you want kind of a boutique feel, a small firm feel with the backing of a large organization. And so really great opportunities inside of the Big Four. And then every other firm I would call a boutique. So Accenture does a lot of work across industries, but their functional bread and butter is technology. LEK does a lot of work across industries, but their real bread and butter where they compete against larger firms is in healthcare and life sciences. Alex Partners and A&M, really their name was made for bankruptcy restructuring and turnaround work. Oliver Wyman, their name was made doing financial services work. You get the idea. All of these firms work across functions, work across industries, but they have a calling card. They have a specialty area that falls within either an industry or a functional focus area. The point of this slide is to show you that there are hundreds of firms out there that do amazing work. And one of the things that we're going to recommend as we move throughout today is that you broaden your horizons a little bit. And we'll talk a little bit later about how to do that. And there are going to be some boutique firms that I bring to the table later on this conversation that some of you will really, really resonate with. But first, I wanted to define what I meant by boutique. Doesn't necessarily mean small. And we'll get into how to make this decision as we move further along in our conversation today. First, I want to quickly just walk through the four mistakes that you might be making. Recruiting is hard enough on its own without making these mistakes. And so let's quickly just identify what these are and make sure that we're not committing them before we start the decision-making process on how to identify our target firms and how to start building that list out. So first mistake that a lot of candidates make is they think that more firms equals more chances. And you do not need to engage with all the firms in the world to maximize your chances of success. You reach a point of diminishing return. And to me, you reach that point of diminishing return once you have more than 8 or 10 firms on your target list. There is only so much time and energy that you have to make the connections that you need to have to gain meaningful insight into how a firm operates, to gain referrals, while also spending time preparing for interviews. So our recommendation is that you quickly narrow down your target list of firms after doing some initial research. And so there are different avenues that you can utilize to do that initial research. You can set up networking conversations with people at the firm. You can go to hiring or networking events that they're holding. For example, like info sessions, et cetera. You can use resources like Management Consulted. We have deep dive profiles on almost 100 firms at this point on our website. You can do some initial research to figure out if it's worth spending more of your time on that firm or not. But one of the hallmarks of consultants is the ability to be hypothesis driven. That's what leads to faster decision making. And what separates great consultants from the rest is speed to solution. And so one of the things that you need to do and display inside of the recruiting process is this ability to be hypothesis driven, is this ability to make decisions quickly, to identify quickly what it is that you care about, what it is that matters to you, and what it is that doesn't. And so the opposite of being strategic is just blindly applying to 100 firms and thinking that every single firm increases your chances of success by that same degree. It's not true. The focused candidates are the ones who are most successful, not the scattered ones. And so if you are just kind of thinking that like, hey, I will just apply to every opportunity that comes my way, that's the wrong approach and it's not likely to lead to success. Equally as harmful is trying to engage with only one firm. I know so many candidates and I have known so many candidates over the years that have dealt with what we call at Management Consulted special snowflake syndrome, which is, hey, like I'm really unique, which you are, right? And I'm really special, but that means that I only fit in one place. And that is 100% the wrong approach to take. You do not fit in only one place. Almost every firm does almost every kind of work now. Even the traditional strategy players are moving further into downstream work. And they do work in operations and implementation. They do work across industries. And so almost every kind of firm will have a place for you, no matter what your background is, if you do the work of translating that experience in a way that makes sense for that firm. A lot of candidates make assumptions. Hey, I'm going to fit here. I'm not going to fit here. And because they make assumptions instead of actually doing the work to translate their experience into language that firms are going to understand, they end up applying for the wrong level, which, by the way, is a surefire way to get your application thrown out. They end up opting out of the networking and the recruiting process for firms prematurely, because instead of verifying their assumptions, they just cross entire firms or categories off their list. They end up creating unnecessary friction in the networking process because they show up to a conversation with the wrong paradigm. And so how do you translate the experience that you have into language and a story that's going to resonate with a firm? Well, number one, you learn more about that firm and you learn more about the work that they do. Today is like a half step towards that for you. And you can learn that through coffee chats, through firm info sessions. Stay engaged with Management Consulted. We're bringing new firms to you all the time. For example, there's a panel that we're hosting next week with, I think, 6 firms where they're going to talk about the job opportunities that are available at their firms right now, right? Don't believe the lies that no firms are hiring. It's not true. And so stay engaged with us. We'll bring you these learning opportunities. Plug into our community. You'll get more intimate opportunities to engage with firms there. But you can figure out even through your own networking and setting up your own coffee chats, just what the work is that that firm does, what the life is like at that firm, what consulting looks like within that context. And you can then rewrite your resume accordingly and continue to iterate your story as you pursue the networking process, as you continue to have more networking conversations. It's not rocket science. I'm not telling you anything you don't already know. It's just a matter of actually doing the work. And the steps are quite simple. Understand your prospect. Adjust your story accordingly, and then continue to adjust and iterate the more conversations that you have. It's not any different than basic sales, which is really all recruiting is. You're selling yourself. And so we have worked with people over the years that have come from backgrounds as unique and varied as being ballerinas on Broadway, who have ended up leveraging that experience to land an offer inside of consulting. So never discount yourself because you have a unique background, because you have a degree in left-handed puppetry or whatever it is that your degree was that you feel like is not relevant. A unique background and an out of left field degree can equal the right fit if you're willing to do the work. And we're here to help you do the work if you don't want to do it by yourself. So set up that call with Eden if you want to learn how Management Consultant can help you.
Do you want to work for a fast-growing M&A consulting and advisory firm? Then Palmtree is the place to be. Palmtree is a firm that's experienced incredible growth in recent years, even in the midst of the global economic slowdown, and hiring just keeps marching on. If you're currently an employee at a top accounting or advisory firm seeking to break into the M&A industry, or you're a student interested in learning about the M&A lifecycle, consider Palmtree. Join the firm's upward trajectory and help shape the future of M&A advisory. If interested, learn more and apply on the firm's careers page, palmtreellc.com, or you'll find the link in this episode's show notes.
Fourth mistake. This is another big one. And this is one that I am combating all the time in the conversations that I'm having with candidates. Is a lot of people are waiting for the perfect opportunity at the perfect time at the perfect firm. And I hate to burst your bubble, but none of those things exist, right? There is no such thing as a perfect opportunity. There's honestly no such thing as the perfect time, and there's no such thing as the perfect firm, okay? One of the things that I have seen happen over and over again is that candidates get emotionally attached to firms they haven't even applied to yet. And they have conversations with McKinsey. They love the people at McKinsey, and they're like, you know what? Because I love the people at McKinsey, I'm not even going to try for Deloitte. I'm not even going to go pursue this boutique that does amazing work that's similar to McKinsey. I'm going to spend less time putting the work in for Bain or BCG because I have fallen in love with a firm who, quite honestly, has not fallen in love with me and is not emotionally attached with me. The dirty little secret is even when you work at the firms, they won't be emotionally attached to you. So it behooves you to not be emotionally attached to them, especially before you've even applied. Will the market be better in 6 months or 12 months? Maybe, maybe not. Nobody knows. We don't know. So recruiting, especially inside of the consulting landscape, rewards the go-getters. And so are there defined recruiting pathways and timelines for certain categories of candidate? Yes, there are, right? And we talked about some of those at the beginning of today's call, right? Those of you who are undergraduate or specialty master's candidates, like your recruiting timeline is in the summer. Those of you who are MBA candidates, yours is in the fall. But if you don't fall within a defined on-campus recruiting timeline, then if 12 months out of the year, recruiting is fair game for you. And you should be networking all the time. You should be building connections, and you shouldn't be waiting around for a perfect time that will never come to start to figure out which firms would be interested in your profile, start to figure out where you want to work, and start to put those application materials together. Here's the key mindset shift that all of our clients at some point or another go through if they want to be successful. A lot of people come to us and they say, hey, I'm looking for the firms that are most likely to hire me. And the mindset shift that we want them to go through is stop looking for the firms that you think are likely to hire you and start looking for the firms you want to work for. That confidence shines through in the networking process, right? One mindset makes you come across as desperate. The other mindset makes you come across as a top performer. And let me tell you something, top performers always have options. And so the best candidates, when they're having these conversations, are assessing the firms just as much as the firms are assessing them. And you're trying to figure out, is this a firm that I want to work for? You need to settle in the confidence that you want to do this, right? And that's something we can't do for you, making the decision that this is a career that you want to pursue. But what makes it easier to understand and to internalize that this is something that you really want to do is recognizing that you have a lot to bring to the table. And I will talk to you on the next slide about what it is that you have to bring to the table. But once you have that understanding, I think it makes it easier for you to say, yes, the pain is worth the purpose, right? I will commit to do the work because I see the light at the end of the tunnel. But if I could just be older brother for a second and be brutally honest with you, but hear this, it's coming from a good place. The problem is not the market. The problem with a lot of candidates that are failing right now is that they're either not doing the work or they're not doing the work strategically. And so one of the reasons that we exist is, number one, to help you do the work strategically, make sure you're doing the right things at the right time in the right order. But number two, also to just act as accountability and a forcing function to make sure that you are investing the time and the effort that you need to invest to really be successful in this process. That's what we're here for. So how do you identify that you have a lot to bring to the table? If you can check these four boxes, which, by the way, I am confident that 100% of you listening to this can check, then you're a good fit. You have a lot to bring to the table. So number one, you're measurement oriented. What I mean by that is that you love profit-seeking enterprises and you know how to measure success. Number two, you're analytical. All that I mean by that is that you enjoy using data to drive action. Analytical does not mean you like doing research for the sake of doing research. That's the antithesis of consulting work. All of the work that you do has to be used to drive action. Third, you have some kind of business acumen. You can prove this through your prior experience, but really, what I care about, especially for early career professionals, is that you have a passion for business. You're excited to read about current business affairs. You're excited to dive into different business models. You like talking about business, which at the end of the day, at its like most foundational form, is what a case interview is. And then fourth, you're politically savvy. This doesn't mean that you have to have worked on Capitol Hill. It just means that you have the ability to bring different stakeholders together. You, as a consultant, are going to work on behalf of incredibly matrixed organizations. You're going to work with stakeholders who have competing priorities. And so can you bring stakeholders together around a common purpose, a common aim? I would venture to say that all of you have done that in some shape, form, or fashion, whether that's been on a project inside of an undergraduate program or whether you've been working in industry for 10 years, you've done that. But if you can start to take what's on this slide and reorient your resume around this type of work, you have started the process to adjusting your experience to what the firms are looking for and adjusting the language that you're using to communicate, hey, I understand this is the kind of work that consultants do. I understand that this is what would make me a great consultant. This is what would make me a great candidate. So if you can check these four boxes, which all of you can, you should be confident moving forward in this process. All right, now that we've walked through the four mistakes, the biggest mistakes that I see candidates make, let's work through now a five-step process to identify the firms that you want to work for. And similar to college or MBA program applications, we recommend having a mix of stretch firms, having a mix of target firms, and having a mix of safe firms. And if you can have a third of your target list be stretch, a third of your target list be target, right? Like where you like squarely fit, and a third of your target list be safe, you're going to maximize your chances of success. And so that is two to three firms inside of each of those categories. Now, here are the five steps that I would recommend that you go through in order to start to build and curate that list. Number one, identify three geographies that are a fit for your life and your background. So first, we're going to narrow down our office choices. So here are some things that you do to narrow down your office choices. Number one, you figure out, and we'll actually just tell you this, which geographies are hot and which aren't. Where's the growth taking place in the industry? I can tell you right now that the fastest growing geography in terms of consulting demand is the Middle East. So if you think the Middle East, whether that's Dubai, whether that's Riyadh, whether that's another city or region inside of the Middle East, if you think that would be a fit for your life, there are opportunities there right now. One of the slowest growth areas in consulting right now is the UK and parts of Europe. And so are there opportunities still available there? Yes. Are there less opportunities available there? Also, yes. And so figuring out, right, geographies where you would like to live, where there is some kind of hiring activity going on, and also figuring out at least one geography where you already have a right to work. So if you're going to pick three regions of the world where you want to work, My strong recommendation to you is that one of those three geographies is a place where you do not need sponsorship, where you do not need any kind of visa accommodation. That becomes then, right? There's a lot of things with sponsorship that are outside of your control and outside of anybody's control. So if things don't go your way in terms of work authorization, but you've built a great connection with the firm, there's mutual interest there, you at least still have a chance to break in inside of an office where you already have work authorization. And you are able to put in for like a regional transfer or a global transfer once you've been inside of a firm for 12 to 18 months. And often I am more willing and more likely to sponsor you as an employer to make a move if you already work for me and you've already proven to me that you're a top performer. And so, for example, if you want to work in the US, but you don't have work authorization here right now, it's possible for you to take a stepping stone approach to still eventually end up in the US. So there are different strategies that you can employ to still end up in the geography that you really want to be in. At the end of your process, once you've networked, once you're getting ready to submit your application, there is also some strategy that comes into play in terms of how you prioritize the different geographies that you're targeting. And at the end of all the networking conversations that you've had, if all of the regions, all of the offices that you're targeting are still equal in your mind, then you should pick and prioritize the office where you have your strongest advocate. So identify three geographies early that you want to network in, and you will figure out as you go through this networking process kind of what the order of priority becomes for you. And then as you start to figure out, you know what, like this is the geography that I really want to live, work, and be based in, you start to focus more of your networking efforts there. So you have the strongest advocate in your first choice geography. And again, if all things at the end are considered equal still to you, then pick the geography, prioritize the geography where you have the strongest advocate. Once you've thought about location, second, let's think about your own background, your own industry and functional experience, and let that direct you to some of the firms and the opportunities that are out there for you. And so I break up kind of the work that consulting firms do into four different parts. You can see this simple pie chart, this matrix that's on the slide here. I'm going to walk through it from top left, bottom right, and then end at top right. And so if you look at the top left corner of this slide, you have firms and opportunities that are very industry specific, but in that industry, they solve all sorts of different problems. So for example, LEK, a firm I mentioned earlier, a great example of this. A lot of the work that LEK does is in healthcare, life sciences, kind of biopharma, et cetera. That's their specialty. Now, they do strategy, operations, technology, a lot of different types of functional work focused inside of that industry. So if you have a healthcare or a life sciences background, right, that might be a firm that you're interested in, and that might be a firm that's also interested in you. So there are firms out there that don't necessarily specialize in a practice area or a functional area, but have built a reputation around industry expertise. LEK would be one of them. It's not the only one. There are also internal consulting opportunities available for you at almost every Fortune 500 company. So Google, Capital One, American Express, Wendy's, the fast food restaurant, Schindler Elevator, Hershey, all of these companies and more have internal consulting practices, internal strategy teams. And so if you have industry expertise, right, inside of financial services, inside of CPG, inside of healthcare, there are consulting opportunities available to you that aren't necessarily in the management consulting space traditionally. And so all of these internal strategy teams at these large organizations operate as internal consulting firms that are working on answering the biggest questions that the C-suite of that organization has. So those are the teams that are working on the business while everybody else is working in the business. And it is just like management consulting work. And there are some amazing perks to doing internal consulting. way less travel, and usually a way better work-life balance. And so some of you might actually be more interested in internal consulting than traditional management consulting, but the pace, the rigor of the work is very, very similar. And the exit opportunities that you get coming out of that internal consulting role are oftentimes better inside of that organization. So you could go, for example, from the internal consulting practice at Hershey, like into one of the brands that Hershey owns, and you could own a P&L inside one of those kind of sub-brands or sub-organizations inside of Hershey. So some natural exit opportunities that arise from those internal consulting roles as well, if you know you want to stay in that space or if you know you'd like to work for that company long term. So if you've got an industry background, upper left-hand quadrant may be the way that you want to go. You've got other firms, bottom left-hand quadrant here, that have an industry focus and a functional focus. So you see Altman Solon here on this slide. They work in one industry, it's TMT, and they have one functional focus area, it's strategy. That is all the firm does. It's TMT strategy. And so if that is your bread and butter, if that is your interest, if that aligns with an industry or functional background that you have, great firm you might have never heard of that does work that might be right up your alley. Bridgespan only works for nonprofit organizations in the social sector and primarily only focuses on strategy inside that sector. So you have some firms that are incredibly niche, working in one industry in one practice area, but they've really carved out a specialty inside of those areas and compete against much larger firms inside of those spaces. You've got other firms that specialize in a functional area, but work across industries. So for example, right, Accenture works across industries, does a lot of different types of work, but the common thread through all of Accenture's work is technology. Right. By the way, Accenture is really, really well positioned to take advantage of the rollout of AI that is happening across industries right now. The leading firm in terms of helping enterprises identify an AI strategy and execute it. So if you're interested in work at the intersection of business and AI, look at Accenture. They're doing a lot of cool stuff inside of that space. But you've got firms like Alvarez & Marsal that I mentioned earlier. Right, their primary kind of functional focus area, restructuring, bankruptcy, turnaround. Historically, Carney's primary focus area was operations and supply chain. They do more work than that, but that's their calling card inside the industry. But they do that work, inside of CPG, inside of financial services, inside of healthcare. You get the idea. And then in the upper right-hand quadrant, you've got firms that play across industries and across practice areas. So this would be primarily your MBB and your Big Four. They do a little bit of everything. So you could find, Deloitte's got a strategy arm. They've got a human capital consulting arm. McKinsey, of course, does strategy, but they also do implementation work. All of these firms have large and fast-growing digital practices as well. And so no matter what your industry background is, no matter what your functional background is, there's an opportunity probably that you can find inside of some of those large firms. The challenge there is for you to determine, are you going to try and recruit as a generalist or a specialist? Typically, if you have more than 10 years of experience, the easier path for you to break into one of those firms is as a specialist. One of the ways that you can verify that you are making the right decision there is have a conversation with our team and also have a conversation with your contacts inside the firm. Firms are really good about telling you where they want you to fit. And so you can come in with a hypothesis, you can have done your research, but then verify that with someone at the firm before you apply for a specific role. Once you've done some of that research, some of that thinking to identify, okay, which quadrant do I want to play in inside of that matrix? The third thing you got to do is you got to think about the comp, right? So all my Jerry Maguire fans here, right? Show me the money. Comp isn't everything, but it is important and it does matter. And so use the management consultant salary report. It's on the website. It's free for everybody. There are over 100 firms represented inside of that report. We'll tell you exactly how much you can expect to make at those firms, depending on your entry level. And we don't just break down base salary, we break down signing bonus, performance bonus, retirement contribution, other benefits. And so eliminate the firms that don't meet your compensation expectations, that aren't going to be a good fit for the lifestyle that you live. Also use the report to just make sure that your expectations are realistic. So the report is a really good sanity test and sanity check, just to make sure that what you're thinking you should get paid and what you're thinking you will get paid actually lines up with reality. Right. So use the report to set your expectations, and then also use the report on the back end to filter out firms that don't meet your criteria. By the way, the report is also a good way to identify firms you might have never heard of before. Like, you might be reading through the report, you might see a firm that's really competitive on comp, and you might be like, I've never even heard of this firm before. A good chance for you to go do some research and figure out where they fit inside of this matrix, and then figure out if that's a firm you'd like to work for or not. Fourth, size matters, right? So we have identified kind of four tiers of consulting firm that we think it makes the most sense to kind of just break up firms by inside of the space. And so you have firms that have less than 200 employees, firms that have between 201 and 500 employees, firms that have between 501 and 2,000 employees. These are what I would call the mid-sized firms. And then any firm that has over 2,000 employees, I would term a large firm. And so you don't have to limit yourself to just one size. I'd actually think about picking at least two firms inside of each size category as well. And as you start to have your networking conversations, you'll begin to figure out what type of culture you fit best within. Oftentimes, it's the smaller firms that give you the chance to take more ownership early on inside of your tenure, in terms of managing a client, in terms of owning a piece of the work on a deliverable. Smaller firms also give you a much greater chance to get involved in business development. At larger firms, that is the purview almost exclusively of partners. And so if you're interested in business development type of work, if you're interested in contributing to a firm in that way, it's the smaller size firms that are going to give you that opportunity on top of some of the project work that you would do. And so once you've gone through our first three steps and started to put together a list of target firms, go to our consulting firm directory. We have like snapshots there on over 1,300 firms, and we tell you how many employees they have. And you can use that firm directory as just another filter to make sure that you're being holistic in your search. All of the firms that I've mentioned today so far, almost all of them, fall within that 2,000 plus employee category. They are larger firms. You are shortchanging yourself if those are the only firms you limit yourself to. There are a lot of amazing firms out there at different sizes doing incredible work, and you don't necessarily have to sacrifice comp if you go work at a smaller firm. A lot of them offer incredibly competitive pay. And so come to the panel we're hosting next week with six boutique firms, smaller firms in terms of size and footprint, to hear directly from them on some of the work that they're doing. And I'll ask a member of my team to pop that link in the chat if they haven't already. Fifth, once you've gone through this process, it's time for you to self-evaluate where you fit. And typically, there are two main components that make up the bulk of the evaluation about you as a candidate. It's your education and it's your experience. And so what we're gonna do is we're gonna send out the recording of this call later this week, and we're gonna send out as a companion resource to this recording, a fit score sheet. And there are going to be some instructions that are included on that sheet. Read through the instructions, evaluate yourself based on the criteria that we lay out in that sheet, and you will then come up with a fit score. And your score will fall within one of three categories, and on that sheet, we will lay out some next steps for you based off of which category you fall into. So be on the lookout for that and actually follow through and take that assessment so that you have a good sense of what your specific next step should be coming out of this conversation.
Hey y'all, it's James here. If you're looking for your consulting fit score sheet, please reach out to us via email to get that. team@managementconsulted.com. That's team, T-E-A-M, @managementconsulted.com.
One more thing I'll just quickly mention before we do something a little bit fun is that it's amazing to me how many people apply for roles that require an incredible strategic acumen, but aren't necessarily strategic about their search for those very same roles. And so what I would do after starting to execute some of these steps is I'd start to put together a target firm list. And I'm a big fan of spreadsheets. I use spreadsheets to run my entire life, but you could build a basic spreadsheet based off of the criteria that we've discussed today and start to keep track of some of these firms that you're interested in based on different criteria. Like, what category do they fall into? Like, are they MBB, Big Four, boutique? Do they have a functional or industry focus area? How big are they? What would be the starting base salary for me at the level that I would enter into? And you can continue to build out that spreadsheet and scribe the networking conversations that you have with people at these firms. Right? Keep notes around who you talk to, which office they're in, how long they've been at the firm, what the follow-up is that you promised them. And I highly recommend that you build some kind of tracker for yourself just to keep yourself straight and keep yourself accountable as well, so that as you get to the place where you have to follow up with people after networking conversations, you've got all of those notes in one place. And so just a really basic example here of how you could lay that out in Excel. What I want to do now is I want to demonstrate how to walk through some of these steps with a member of our community. And so, Caleb, I'll just ask you quickly, do we have a member of our community that is willing to just quickly walk through this process publicly in front of these folks on the call today?
Hey, Naman. Yes, we do. Catherine Johnson, one of our Black Belt and community members, is ready to jump on with you and go through this together live.
I love it. Catherine, thank you so much for being willing to do this. I'm going to go back to step one. Can you just give me 30 seconds of context on your background before we dive into these five steps?
So I just graduated in December with an MBA. I am a working professional in the marketing and business development industries. And I have, in 2019, I started my own very small business strategy consulting practice to help me get through the pandemic. So that's a bit of my background. A lot of it is marketing and business development. And then I just got my MBA.
Okay, fantastic. Really, really helpful. Thank you, Catherine. So let's start with the regional question. I'm assuming based on your accent, you're based in North America.
Yep.
Okay, great. Is it feasible for you to look at other geographies, or are we limited to North America?
North America.
America. Okay, great. So inside of North America, are we talking about the US only?
Yes.
Okay, great. And have you started the thought process around which offices you might like to target inside of the US?
Yes. So I've kind of gone through some of what you've listed, and my primary geography or goal is Colorado. Okay. Denver specifically is my ideal. I live in Texas, so, you know, I could do Texas, but ideally I would love Colorado.
Okay. And we're open to other offices, but Denver's the clear first choice.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, great. So One of the things that I would do is I would still network inside of 4 to 6 offices, but spend a bulk of my time trying to build connections inside of Denver. A lot of firms are actually opening offices in Denver right now. So it's a good time for you to be targeting Denver, because firms that are opening new office locations obviously have staffing needs.
Yeah.
And so I'll just mention that as a tip for everybody on the call. One of the things that you can do is pay attention to where firms are opening new offices, because they have to hire full office staffs in those cities. You can also pay attention to where firms are hiring, which practice areas are hiring new partners, because partners always hire teams underneath of them. And so paying attention to where the hiring is taking place at the senior levels and paying attention to where firms are opening new office locations will give you a clue as to where some of these hiring opportunities will be coming up. So that's an aside. Okay, so we've got Denver, we've maybe got Houston, Dallas, Austin, potentially, right? Maybe some other West Coast offices. Okay, fantastic. And you've got work authorization in the US, so we don't have to have that conversation. Right. So step two, you talk to me about your marketing and biz dev experience. Has that been in a specific industry?
Well, I'm currently working in the commercial real estate, commercial real estate, commercial design area is what my current job is. But I've worked in, I have a ton of customer service experience. So I ran the front of house of a fine dining restaurant for a number of years. So I've also thought about the hospitality restaurant industry as well.
Okay. Fantastic. Do you already have target firms on your list?
A few.
Okay.
Bain is of the MBBs. Bain is my top one for those. And they just opened an office in Denver in October of last year. So Bain is the top for that. I'm also looking into EY Parthenon. Accenture has an office there as well. Deloitte. I've tried to find stuff through for Google or different things like that, but I don't know if I'm just not typing in the correct keywords for internal consulting, but I'm definitely open to that as well.
Okay, fantastic. Do you, how much do you want to leverage your kind of sales, marketing, biz dev experience in the consulting work that you would do? Like, are you looking to make a clean break from that?
No, not necessarily. I'm definitely willing to leverage it. I don't think I want to do it for the rest of my life, but if it gets me in the door with a firm and opens more opportunities, then for sure.
Amazing. Amazing. So one firm that I'd recommend you look at, do a little bit more research in, they have a heavy sales and marketing background, would be ZS Associates. I'm not sure if they have an office location in Denver. That would be something that you use our firm directory to figure out.
Okay.
But I know that historically speaking, that's been a large focus area for the firm. And that's your functional experience and expertise. There might be mutual interest there in just exploring further.
Cool.
So ZS would be one firm.
Okay.
And then for internal consulting opportunities, I think the big filter for you to run those opportunities through is what industry do you want to kind of work in moving forward? One of the downsides of internal consulting is that for example, if you go to Hershey, you get branded as the CPG gal, right? Like you go to American Express, you get branded as a financial services person. And so it's hard to then break out of that industry moving forward. And so do you have a sense on if you want to be inside of a certain industry long-term?
Okay. I don't necessarily at this point.
Then I would explore internal consulting as an option, but just keep in mind that it is going to brand you.
Okay.
And so a potential for a lot of people, it's a pro. For some people, it could be a con, right? Like if you're like me and you don't know what you want to be when you grow up. And so like just keep that in mind as you look at internal consulting.
Okay.
Awesome. And then we don't necessarily have to talk about your comp expectations or your current salary or anything like that. But have you just gone through the process of verifying the current target firms that you have that the compensation is in line with what would work for you?
Yes, I've actually used y'all's salary report a number of times, and it's super helpful. So yes, I've gone through that. I haven't created the spreadsheet that you suggested. I have another one that I have created, but I'm going to go ahead and create one that includes the salary and different things like that as well.
Fantastic. And then I noticed that all of the firms that you referenced, Catherine, were in this like very large category, right? And so one of the things that I'm going to do after this call is I've got a handful of other firms that I think might be good fits for you. And we'll send over some recommendations for you after the call on some other firms in smaller size categories that you might be interested in. Cool. So just be on the lookout for that. I'll probably just send you a DM inside the community.
Okay, perfect. That sounds great.
That'll be the most efficient and also help you broaden your horizons a little bit with some of the firms that you're thinking about. Okay. And then we can come back and curate like that list down to like 6 to 8 kind of final firms that you really want to spend a lot of time networking within.
Cool. Okay, that sounds awesome. Thank you.
I appreciate you just having this conversation in front of everybody and just demonstrating kind of like how these concepts build on each other and what it looks like to kind of view opportunities through these different filters and through these different lenses. And we'll send you some of those recommendations after the call.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Catherine. And so that's what we do for all of our black belts as well. We have much more time inside of a black belt coaching session to go in depth on your resume, to go in depth on your long-term career goals. And then with those things in mind, taking a look at some firms that could be good fits for you based on the criteria that we've laid out today. So that's a part of the value proposition of joining Black Belt and working with Management Consulted, if that's something that you would like to do. And so I will pop up the QR code again, so you can just grab time with Eden if you'd like to talk through how Management Consulted can help and if we're a good fit for you or not. These are a couple of our premium programs that Eden will talk to you about. Super Prep gives you 20 one-hour one-on-one coaching sessions with us. We'll execute a plan that an MBB coach builds just for you. Also gives you resume edits, also gives you a networking plan, also gives you membership to our community, also gives you a one-week consulting project experience to add to your resume. And we also throw in a one-hour consultation with our CEO, Jenny Ray, and that consultation is only available for Super Prep clients. So that's one option for you. Black Belt's another fantastic option for you. A little bit slimmed down, gives you the 8 1-hour one-on-one sessions, the resume edits, and the community membership. And so Eden can talk to you about all your options if you're interested in learning more. And we'd love to just have a conversation with you, no obligation at all.
If you know that you're making the mistakes that Iman talked about today, or you just want a little bit of expert help navigating the often daunting process, then Black Belt is a personalized prep program that is for you. If you want to talk to a member of our team before you purchase, you can. There's a link in this episode's show notes. You can talk with Eden, who's happy to walk you through the program and make sure it's the right fit for your background, timeline, and goals. Thanks for tuning in. We'll catch you again soon.